Good day, everyone. Welcome to the 23 Podcast. Wherever you are, whenever you are listening, thank you for joining us and making us part of your day today. My name is Parker Kern here, as most of the time, with my co-host, my good friend and our pastor, Father Jeff Macbeth. Father, it's beginning to look a lot like Advent.
You got it. That's right. Yeah.
I love that from Mass this past Sunday.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of fun.
The kids were giving you blink blink, as Father Jeff Rose would say.
As always.
They were giving you
More and more I look to like make the adults laugh, not them, because they just don't care.
Yeah, it's so. For example, Shrek. You know, you watch Shrek as a 6-year-old and you watch Shrek as a 20-year-old. There's things that references in there that the adults catch that the kids don't, and so that's what you did. I appreciate it. You Shrek'd us.
Yeah. Well, in my last parish, we did the Children's Liturgy of the Word at the bigger Mass, and they would line up kind of on the side, not too far from me, but like I didn't go down front. They would all come close. It was just a different setup. Like they would line up on the side, and then from the presider's chair, I just sent them off. So, I'm used to not like mixing it up with them, and so it's actually one more thing for me to try to come up with, to be honest with you.
Really?
So, at this point, I guess I got to stick with it since that's what people know. But we'll see. Maybe I'll give that up for Lent.
Yeah.
Just go. I don't care.
Get out of here.
No,
I think it's good. I mean, it's always a fun.
See if anyone even notices.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have no idea. I didn't realize that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is behind the Mass.
I know.
Get a lot of different things that way.
Totally. So, yeah. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. It's beginning to look a lot like Advent, you know. So
it is. We're lighting candles.
We're I saw a meme the other day, and it was like people lighting the Advent wreath this week. It was just like, don't light the pink one.
Yeah, the rose one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, what I like this time of year, the memes, you know, with the new year, you know, it's like, oh, there I go, you're writing year C on my checks again.
Yeah, year C on your checks, that's pretty funny.
So that's always fun.
Yes.
You know, a little Catholic nerd humor.
Yeah, because we're in the Fonzie year.
Hey. Gotcha.
See, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Hey, you would like this. So are you a Spotify person?
I have the app. I don't listen a lot, and I certainly don't pay for a subscription.
Well, that's very fine.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I'm still on with my parents after all these years. But I do like prorate their payment, you know, because like we split some of the video streaming services. So I always like say, okay, well, here's for my Spotify for the year. But that's the one thing I'm on with them still. I don't know why. Anyway, so I got my Wrapped the other day. You have Spotify Wrapped? You have?
I don't.
Okay. Well, basically,
I think I use the app like once a year.
Well, at least you use it, and I'm sure they appreciate you using it. But essentially, it takes analytical data of all that you've listened to that whole year, and it crunches everything, right? It says how many minutes you listened, how many artists, how many genres you listened to.
I've heard of this, just what people have like posted about.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It.
Well,
like it's kind of like your yearly stats.
Exactly. It's yearly stats. So I was, I actually listened to 263 genres of music.
That's broad.
And I don't really know.
Are there that many?
I didn't know that there were, and I'm still questioning that.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend Tyler, he said that one of his top genres was pop rap.
It's
rap.
Kind of a contradiction in terms.
I would agree. And we were both trying to figure out, you know, who are the artists that...
Like Vanilla Ice.
Well, honestly, yeah. Lil Wayne was one of them.
What?
But I was like, that's not really, you know... And I thought somebody like Linkin Park, you know? Because, like, they would have, like,
the
pop song, but then he would, like, rap, you know? Rest in peace, Chester Bennington. He would rap a little bit. But...
Yeah, well, I think Linkin Park, there's the one guy that screams and the one guy that raps.
Yeah. Yes,
they're two different guys.
And same with like Killswitch Engage or something like that. But anyways, so they gave me a listening age this year.
Well, like how old they think you are based on your
listening.
Oh, how fun.
So again, for everybody out there, I'm 29. And my listening age, according to the music, why don't you guess? And I'll tell you over under.
Wow, it's hard with 263 genres.
Right, and I grew up with
although if they're if they're saying pop rap is your top.
It wasn't. That was my friend Tyler's.
Oh, it was Tyler's.
Mine was, so I grew up with, first of all, my parents are very nice. They're a little older than some other people's parents. And my dad was a DJ back in many past lives.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so he listened. So sometimes I would listen to classic country music.
You just talked to me into giving a higher number than what I was going to give.
Yeah. And I always say I was born in the wrong decade with music because I listened to a lot of the things that were made prior to my birth in 1996.
Yeah. At first, I was going to guess that you've averaged out to, because I know you don't just listen to the, you know, older things.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
And so I was going to say 43.
Oh.
And then I changed it. You talked me into 57.
57. My listening age on Spotify is 67. Yeah, not even joking you.
So like all the Taylor Swift you listen to doesn't bring it down? Apparently not enough.
Well, that's the confusing part because she's my number two artist.
Whoa.
But don't worry, it's not because of that. It's because my Spotify is hooked to the Alexas in our house.
Oh, so it factors in your parents.
And it factors in Marissa listening when she's cooking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. No, it's just it. So.
Oh, it's just for you.
Right. So gotcha. It's like my personal data, but my Spotify account is hooked up to our like Alexas in the house. And I'm sorry if I'm triggering people's Alexas if you're listening to this.
Alexa,
yeah.
Play Taylor Swift.
Oh no, don't.
Although, really, you know, for you, it's just Alexa, turn on, and then that it knows to play Taylor
pretty much.
Swift.
Yeah. No, I almost threw up when I saw that my number two artist was, and I was like, how is this possible? And Marissa goes, because. Your account's hooked to the
Alexa. You're married into this.
Yeah, that's what I hear a lot, and so I said, well, we got to get your Spotify hook up to the Alexas because I don't want my stats next year.
That's right.
Because because my buddy Tyler, and if he's listening, which he probably isn't, but he was like, oh, what are your five artists? Because he sent me his, and this is like a big deal for him. And there was like a delay, and he was like adamant that something was terribly wrong. Mm-hmm. And he kept saying, where's the Spotify Wrapped? Where's the Spotify Wrapped? I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, it'll be here. Mm-hmm. And then the morning that it came out, he sent me his five artists, and he goes, oh, where's your five artists? And I goes, you know, I got to go. I got a meeting. I don't know how to do. I don't know how to take a screenshot. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, because I know he would make fun of me, but that's okay. It's all good.
That's what friends are for.
Who is afraid of little old me? You should
be.
Mm-hmm. It's a Taylor Swift reference.
Oh, I don't. See, I don't.
Yeah, see? There
you I'm go. Proud of myself. I didn't get it. Yeah.
There's a little blank space in there.
Didn't catch it. Oh, that one I know. Is that from that song?
Blank Space, yeah.
No.
Yeah. That's actually one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And there's a couple bangers when you hear it 24/7.
Right.
It's all good. But yeah, 67, and oddly enough, Father, in the year of 6/7.
I tell you. It's very appropriate. It's very appropriate. You're cooler than you know, actually. Yeah.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, I look at that and I go, that's old.
I saw a fun meme the other day. As we were approaching the 250th anniversary of the country, I don't know what the official title for that is. It was George Washington. He's like 76. So
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Clever. We make ourselves laugh here.
We
least.
Do. That's, we have that's fun anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we have the first candle lit.
Yeah.
And we're now into
second week of.
We're approaching that Advent. Very quickly.
Yeah, coming up.
Very interesting gospel reading. I would say very poignant. Not that they all aren't, but this is really one, and again, in Advent. I always think of the first Sunday of Advent sort of as a primer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, you're coming in and you understand that it is Advent, but you're not really in the zone yet. You're not really sort of like that. The scripture and the mass and how everything works is sort of like getting you into it. But now that you're sort of fully immersed in it, this second week, I really love the scriptures, especially for the second week. And I'd love to hear you share it with us here.
Yeah. So Advent, you know, it's an interesting season because it's only four Sundays.
Very, very quick. Yeah.
You know, and so depending on when Christmas falls, it could be like 3 weeks in a day, or it can be four full weeks.
That's correct.
You know, we're on the longer side this year, you know, kind of getting there. But, you know, we think of it as preparation for Christmas. But then when we have readings like we had last week, it's like, what in the heck?
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's misleading.
But that's the other But, you know, that's the twofer with Advent. Yeah. You know, it's preparing us to celebrate Christ coming at Christmas, but also for Christ to come again, mm-hmm. you know, the second time in glory.
And so the third time to all of us.
Yes, exactly. And so that first Sunday of Advent is more geared towards, really the first couple, more geared towards the second coming of Christ.
Yes.
Which is why we hear about that. And the second Sunday of Advent, we always hear about John the Baptist. Yes. You know, Advent's kind of his time to shine, you know, for, you know, I'm announcing the coming of the Messiah, so it's appropriate.
Right.
So that's what we're going. And then as we get on into Advent, you know, especially by the fourth Sunday is more, the focus definitely shifts.
Yeah, we're cranking.
You know, to the coming of Christ in his nativity. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is kind of a whole kind of method to the madness.
Yeah, there's an arc for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a whole trajectory, you know, and it's all kind of laid out, you know, with four Sundays in each of the years. But this year we are in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken, when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region of Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." J-Bap.
Strong words from a strong man.
Yeah. Yeah. What I always love about John the Baptist, he kind of knows his role.
Yeah, he knows that he's like the number two guy.
Yeah, he's like the mouthpiece.
He just kind of owns it.
Yep. You know, and I mean, other places, you know, people are like, you know, is John the Baptist the one? You know, and he's like, "Nope, I'm not he.
I'm sure that was, I mean, highly debated, and how could it not be, right? With all the wise things that he was saying, and mm-hmm. I mean, very prophet-esque. Mm-hmm. I mean, but again, he's sort of, you know, paving the way for Jesus, you know, sort of, you know, metaphorically. Last week we had some terrible snow. Mm-hmm. John's the snowplow. He's plowing the snow.
Making the way.
He's putting the salt down, getting ready for Jesus. By the way, the ODOT plows did absolutely nothing beforehand.
Oh, really?
It was terrible. Mm. Driving home Saturday, I was holding on for dear life. Yeah.
Yikes.
It's all good. I mean, made it, but I was like, what did you people do all day? Yeah. Did you just sitting here eating bonbons?
I know.
Anyways,
yeah,
they were watching our pal Chris on the weather saying it's going to be terrible.
I think in the Berg, they pre-treated like days in advance. I'm like, what are these stripes on the road?
Nobody did 25. Oh, 25 was awful. Anyways, but that's my metaphor for the day. John's the snowplow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's something to that, you know, about the whole metaphor that we could use for, right, keeping the roads cleared.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, as part of our call for Advent, you know, is to prepare the way of the Lord. You know, at Christmas, you know, joy to the world, you know, we sing, "Let every heart prepare him room." Mm-hmm. But we sing it on Christmas, but that really should be. That line, you know, is, I think, more the Advent theme, you know.
Yes.
Preparing, having our hearts prepare him room. You know, that's, you know, why we should be focused on Advent, you know, maybe some greater prayer, attention, even though it's a crazy time, being intentional about, you know, focusing on the Lord. Maybe we even, you know, give something up for Advent like we do during Lent, just as a way of, you know, preparing, you know, kind of shifting our focus from the routine.
Non-restrictive.
You know, that's, you know, our passages last, you know, week, you know, some of those were about like, you know, hey, you know, it's just going to be kind of a, just a regular day when Jesus comes again. So we got to like be intentional about preparing. And so that's why it's, you know, Advent's a good time to celebrate Sacrament of Reconciliation. That's like the ultimate, you know, let every heart prepare him room. And so, yeah, you know, how are we going to keep the roads to God's grace cleared, you know, this Advent, you know, and the fact that we've already had to worry about that.
Yeah.
Late November, early December, you know, is kind of, I think we can use, you know, as a metaphor for Advent, you know, so that we can produce, you know, good fruit in our lives. And, yeah.
I think also, you know, sort of going off of that, not relying on quote unquote spiritual autopilot,
mm-hmm.
you know, going back to the travel metaphor, by car has lane keep assist and adaptive cruise control. So it's basically on autopilot all the time,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I have to keep my hand on the steering wheel, but it just kind of goes. You set it and it stays in the center of the lane. It does the, you know, it can, I don't think it can change lanes for you, but it does pretty much everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You get into somebody else's car that doesn't have that. And it's like, oh, I actually have to drive now.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think sometimes we forget, you know, maybe in our life, we sort of get into that habit of, you know, our own habits, our own daily, you know, like driving, right. Which is so easy to just sort of get into routine with whatever vehicle you have. And like, that's what it is. But then you get into, you know, my dad has a 25-year-old Thunderbird that you have to still turn the headlights on, and I'm like, oh, I get in that, and I'm like, wait a minute, it's dark out. Yeah, it is. But so that's sort of the thing, and it's like we have a lot of these times in our life where we sort of just get into that autopilot, mm-hmm. especially in Advent where things are so busy for us, and we tend to, I think, gloss over and just sort of, you know, literally put on adaptive cruise control, just hang out.
Mm-hmm.
But we're called to grab the wheel. We're called to drive, steer, right? We're called to be aware and attentive for what's going to happen, not only today, right? But again, as we're preparing for Christ, to celebrate Christ's birth, but also, again, understanding the other two comings, the coming at the end of time, which we talked about in depth last week, and also his coming to us every single moment we're here.
Yeah. And, you know, something like cruise control works when the road is straight.
But, not all the time.
And flat. But I a few weeks ago I was visiting my dad in North Carolina, and you know, beautiful drives through the hills. But there's a certain point you just can't use cruise control; it just doesn't work, you know. Or even there's been times I've been driving through Seneca County, and even the hills there,
yeah.
you know, are like, dang it, you know, my cruise control, you know, it's not helpful because it, yeah. you know, wants to the up going up is not good for cruise control,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if there's a, you know, a curvy road, you know, cruise control doesn't work because it's just kind of reckless going around curves if you're setting it for a speed that you can go at when it's straight. And so there is that need to be intentional when the road's not straight. And let's be honest, like none of our roads spiritually are straight, or the road of life is not typically straight.
There's ups, downs,
and
turns.
So we can't be on cruise control, you know, or autopilot. We got to be intentional and grab the wheel. And pay attention to the ups and downs and the curves. You know, I think I used last year that story of me on that bike at Oakland.
Yeah, you did.
That was crazy. You know, and like I had to be like, one, I had to a part of it just not being used to like mountain biking.
Well, yeah,
I was like, you just need to you need to be in control and slow down, or else you like die.
Well,
fall off the cliff.
I'm glad you didn't die.
Yeah,
but yeah, that.
It was wild.
It's risky.
It was wild.
It's risky.
And right. And you think like, oh, I got, like I talked about in the homily last year, like, oh, I got this. But then you realize, I don't got this. and I just need to be like careful. It's another good
metaphor.
When
you say, Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I guess we're called to take the wheel, but we know also that he's there to sort of help us too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we need, if we're taking that wheel, if we're turning off our cruise control in Advent as we're driving through this great metaphor of the snowplow and the cruise control, I think we did okay with that one.
Totally.
But we all know, you know, always know that if we need Jesus to help us, he's there to take the wheel, you know.
Yeah, for us. Well, and know when we need to slow down to make the curve or, you know, whatnot. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And also, you know, another thing, right, it's not lost on me that we had this sort of wilderness theme. Mm-hmm. Right, and it's so interesting with the metaphor or the I guess the visual of Lent, right, which is the desert juxtaposed against the wilderness in Advent. Right, we're all kind of like lost out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's sort of like when you're driving with no streetlights.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you're just, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what's going on.
Right,
it's tough, but again, we follow that light, we know. We're going to the light. We follow it, and we're able to make it happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah.
Let's pray on
Advent.
That
Advent. Let's go.
Advent.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. God, help us to know the ways that you are looking to make our path straighter. But reconciling things in our lives that that get in the way, relationships with others, our relationship with you. Let's use this time well to allow you to fill in the valleys, to knock down the hills, to straighten the road, as John the Baptist has called us to, by knowing where we need you. We light more and more candles because we know that you are always on your way to helping us out and to be with us and to guide us on the way that leads to yourself. And so give us the grace, Lord, as we continue to move through Advent to be open to that. So Jesus, we love you and trust in you and ask all this in your holy name.
Amen.
Amen. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, great show today. Thank you.
Good talking with you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. God bless you. We'll see you.